Help us, Lord, to have our hearts open to the Word. Help us, Lord, to see how it relates to me personally. That's what Galen prayed. Are we ready? I know I've mentioned this before. It just fascinates me when I sit up here and look around and see the faces and just wonder what's going on in the hearts and minds. I had to think, I'm glad that our thoughts are not audible. What a noise that would have been, huh? Or would be right now. Anybody tell me what the first song that we sung this morning was, besides Franklin? Walking in sunlight. Walking in sunlight. What does that look like, walking in sunlight? Walking in sunlight. The Bible talks a lot about walking. I'd like to do a little topical study this morning on walking. What are some ways that the Bible tells us to walk? Go ahead, shout some out. Walk. Carl? Circumspectly, okay, thank you. Another one. Walk worthy. In the light. In love. Humbly with thy God. Okay, good. We're going to look at all those and several more. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his way, what a glory in the light of his, when we walk with the Lord and help me out. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Okay. Lots of songs about walking. Walking is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. I'd like to read a quote from a devotional that we read this week. Just a couple of paragraphs. The title is, God is for us. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ and the bonds of sin are broken, a number of things become true of us immediately. We are transferred from death to life and indwelt by God's Spirit. We are placed within his family. We are redeemed, changed, and born again. Sin no longer reigns in our lives. It does, however, remain. In trusting Christ, we are not living a life of ease whereby we are exempt from attacks from the evil one or the subtle tendencies of our own hearts. Instead, from the point of conversion through to the point of seeing Christ and being made like him, the Christian is involved in a continual and irreconcilable war. Galen mentioned bombs. There's thousands and thousands of people, Americans, fleeing the Middle East, being sent home, flown home. Why are they doing that? It's not safe to walk there right now. So they're coming here where it's safe to walk. Is it safe to walk? We live in a war zone. We live in a very dangerous existence. I know we've talked before about spiritual warfare. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Spiritual warfare, things that we are sensory people, things that we don't see or touch or hear or taste or those are things that are hard for us to grasp and comprehend. So we talk about spiritual warfare. We talk about if God were to open our eyes to the spiritual world around us right now, here in this place, what would it look like? Would it scare us onto our knees? But we don't see that. We drove here in a comfortable vehicle, nice weather. We're sitting here in comfort with the windows open, the lights on. we're going to go out from here and go home to a table full of nice food and dessert and coffee and maybe take a nap this afternoon and go to work tomorrow and make a lot of money so we can buy a lot of things and do a lot of things. And doesn't sound like war, does it? Well, that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem. Galen said he heard that there's a lot of Iranians turning to the Lord. Why are they doing that right now if that's the case? It's because of the danger, because of the obvious danger. Do any of us feel like we're in obvious danger? There was a quote here in the Sunday school lesson in the focus. It says, man's worship is an index to his heart's condition. I want to change that second word to walk, man's walk. Man's walk is an index to his heart's condition. You can tell a lot by the way a person walks. You see people walk and you think, well, they're a pretty proud person. Or you see a person walk and, well, they must be in a lot of pain, or they must be sad, or yeah, the way a person walks can tell a lot about people. And I don't want to talk about the outward evidence of our walk as a Christian. You can think about that. But I want to talk about what God does for us. I'm going to look at a few verses and then come back to this thought just for a minute. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning, most of them pretty briefly. But I would encourage you to turn to them. You don't have to. If you're taking notes, maybe turning to them would hinder that. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3 is the first one. These all have to do with our walk, and maybe you can help me put these together in some way that makes sense. 1 Corinthians 3, 3, Paul says, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Well, that's where we all have been, and hopefully we're not there too much anymore. But walking as men, how do men walk? Men walk carnally. Men walk selfishly. Men walk with self. Everything's about me. That's how men walk. And Paul said he couldn't speak to them spiritual things because they were walking as men. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10, just a few pages over. 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3 through 7. For though we walk in the flesh, and that's the way we are in the flesh. That's what you can see. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And there's a lot in there that we'll touch on a little bit later. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One thing I want to make sure we do, as we're talking about practical things, talking about things that God has given us instruction in, I want to make sure that we're keeping our hearts and minds focused on Him. Now, these are practical things that He wants us to do, but the reason is for His glory. The reason is for Him. So we want to focus on Christ this morning, even in this topical study. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. Ephesians 5. Just a few more pages forward, Ephesians 5. You may notice as we go through, we refer back to Ephesians several times. So Ephesians might be a good book for you to study for practical application on how to walk with Christ. Ephesians 5. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. There's some practical instruction there. deception, delusion. We talked about delusion in Sunday school. Vain words, the wrath of God, the children of disobedience, don't partake of those things with them. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness. We talked about darkness and light last week a little bit. For you were sometimes darkness. And I hope we're not in darkness. I hope we're not in the shadow somewhere, but we're walking in sunlight. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And I'd like to use that phrase as the title this morning, walk as children of light. So how do we do that? Let's just go over quickly to Ephesians chapter 6 for a couple of verses just to drive a stake in this thought that we are in a dangerous place. We are in a war zone. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Do you ever think about that in the morning? Do you ever think about putting on the whole armor of God? I mean, we think about putting on the clothes for the day, whatever is going to suit us for the day, but we ever think about putting on the whole armor of God? Do you ever think about the articles? And I'm not going to take the time to review those right now, but we should think about that. What is the armor of God, and why is it important for us to have that on every day? And actually, I'd say you go to bed with it on too. So we should never take it off. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Soldiers put on armor. They put on, they get in vehicles that are armor plated. They surround themselves with armor. Why? To protect themselves from the bullets and the bombs and all those things. We have those same things coming at us spiritually. So we put on the armor of God. Why? That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So why are we here? Several thoughts came to mind through the service this morning. We have a loving Father. We have a God that cares for us. We have a God that right this very moment is present here. He's looking down at us. He's looking in our hearts. He knows our thoughts. I'm glad we couldn't hear everybody's thoughts, but he knew everybody's thoughts. And he cares about us. And he gives us his word, gives us practical advice. What if you had a father, and yeah, I mentioned this before too, if my father were still living, I'd love to talk to him, and I'd love to say, can you give me all the advice that you never gave me when I was young? Or repeat the advice that I didn't listen to when I was young. What if we had a father, young people, what if you had a father that every single day they sat you down and they just shared with you advice and loving counsel and practical things that you can do to make it through the day safely and to be prosperous and give you warnings. These are things to avoid. What if you had a father that did that every day? Would that be a good thing? We do. We do. We do. Part of the problem is we, to varying degrees, are deluded. We are. I talked about delusion in the Sunday school lesson. We are deluded because there are obvious things. The comment was made, there are obvious things, but they didn't see them. Well, where do we find these obvious things? We find them right here in the Word of God. This is the daily advice and warning and counsel and practical application. The Word of God, dear people, the Word of God is so vital, so practical, so necessary for our daily walk. So why are we here? Well, hopefully, again, to repeat something that was said in Sunday school, we're here because of love. because of love. Thomas gave you a message of love last week. I'm here this morning because I love God and because I love you. And I want to share part of God's love message to you. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are
not grievous.
His commandments are not grievous. There's a message I heard many, many years ago. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Paris Reedhead. He was a preacher back in the mid-20th century. He preached a message that a lot of people call the greatest message ever preached in the 20th century. It was called 10 Shekels and a Shirt. It was taken out of that Sunday school lesson. But he preached another message, too. It's called The Danger of Third-Generation Religion. When you think about that, so you have grandparents, parents, and grandchildren, and how so quickly, for some, they go from here to here. God tells us. Number one, walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15, right here in Ephesians again. I'm going to back up a couple of verses, verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Again, God, our loving Father, giving us, pleading with us, the light. Jesus is the light. And we read of Jesus in here. We have Jesus by his Holy Spirit in our soul, in our heart. We walk with him. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, Jesus Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So what does it mean to walk circumspectly? What does that big word mean? Very simply, look around. Look around you. Look around you. Think of a squad of soldiers going door to door in a city, and there's danger all around. What are they doing? You know, one's looking this way, one's looking that way. They've got it covered 360 degrees. So how do we do that? Well, we do it with our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open. We do it. There was a question in the Sunday school today about, I don't remember what the question was, but it made me think of Hebrews chapter 5, the end of chapter 5. It talks about having our spiritual senses exercised to discern between good and evil. You back up in the context on that, talks about exercising in the word of righteousness. So how do we exercise ourselves to discern between good and right? It's by being in the word and discerning truth from what's false. So walking circumspectly, another aspect of walking circumspectly is I need you. Because if I'm looking this way, sometimes if I'm driving down the road and my wife is sitting over here, she might see something over and say, look out! I wouldn't have seen it. Walking circumspectly implies that we need each other. That word redeeming the time, what does that mean, redeeming the time? That's just a verse, a phrase. We read that, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Okay, what does redeem mean? To recover from the power of another, to ransom. So redeeming the time, so we take the time away from the power of the evil one, away from the devil, and give it to God to make wise and sacred use of. Circumspectly. Second Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Maybe if nothing else, I can get you thinking about the warfare that we're in and the warfare that is raging for the truth and for the right. God needs people brave and true. Can the Lord depend on you? Number two, walk in the light. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, 14 and 15. Justice and judgment are the habitation, this is where God lives, of thy throne. But not just justice and judgment. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. So this is God. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. What joyful sound? The sound of God's habitation, of God sitting on his throne, of God speaking to us. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light. How does that verse end? Of thy countenance. We're walking in the light of God's countenance. What does that mean? It means that we're walking with God's face open before us with a smile on his face. We're walking in the smile of God, walking in the light of his countenance. You know, heaven, there's no sun there. There's no need of light there because God is the light. God is the light. And God is the light for us today. We walk in the countenance of God, his light. I'm going to go to Isaiah 59. There's a warning. Just a couple little warnings as we go through this. Isaiah 59. Too many verses here to read. But verse 1 says, this is a promise. This is an encouragement. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God is there. God is ready. God is able. But there's a problem, and the problem is us. Verse 7, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. That means sin. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace, that's a path, that's where we walk. The way of peace they know not. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Again, we walk. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. I know a lot of you people, a lot of you ladies in particular, like to get together and go for a walk. You go for a walk in the daytime, or do you go for a walk at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, one of the reasons that you do that is because it's light out. And there's danger in the dark. And you don't want to stumble. There are spiritual applications to that also. John chapter 11. Let's go to John chapter 11 quickly. Walking in light. A couple of verses in John, and we'll move on to the next one. John 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Walk in the light. I'll probably repeat myself several times. Repetition, 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 repetition is how we pick things up, right? These are practical things. Walking circumspectly. How do I do that? I need to think about how to do it and then put it into practice. Walking in the light. in the light of his word and the light that he sheds on our way. Number three, walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. You could probably quote that, 5:16. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, can somebody quote that? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How plain is that? How plain is that? Do I, as a Christian who loves my Savior and wants to please him and see his smile, do I want to walk in the lust of the flesh? No. So what's the antidote to that? Walking in the Spirit. How do I do that? How do I do that? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's a problem there. It said you cannot. We can't do that. I can't walk in the Spirit. Can I? How can I walk in the Spirit? First Corinthians 10 says, wherefore him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. How can I walk in the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. I just quoted that. Take heed lest he fall. And so that leads us to number four. Hang on to that, walking in the Spirit. We can't do that. Our flesh is too strong. Anybody want to war against the flesh in your own power? Anybody think you can do that? So how do I walk in the Spirit? Number four, walk humbly. Walk humbly. 4 and 5 are going to go together. Walk humbly. Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. What does that mean? You see, dear people, we read these. We know these verses. I'm not going to read any verses here that you haven't read before or heard before. They're common verses, familiar verses. But what does he mean? What does he mean? When he says, abide with me, what does he mean by that? Walk in the light, walk in the Spirit, walk humbly. Go to Acts chapter 20. Walking humbly with our God. Micah 6:8, Acts chapter 20, verse 19. This is Paul. This is Paul's testimony. Paul at Troas, Paul at Miletus, Paul with the Ephesians. He's telling them his testimony. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus, called the elders of the church. When they were come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. You know how I walk. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. And temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He says he walked in danger. He walked in, and he goes through this whole big long list of things that afflicted him and the dangers. And how did he endure that? How did he do that? He was walking in the Spirit. He was serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. So what does that mean, humility of mind? John 15:5, Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. Nothing. Nothing good. So, walking humbly with our God, humility of mind, I can do nothing with him. What does that mean? It means we need to come to the place where we actually accept, believe, confess that I can do nothing. That in me dwelleth no good thing, that is in my flesh. And if I hope to please God, it requires what? What does it say in Hebrews 11? Faith. Faith that he can do it. He is able to keep me from falling. And so holding on to that, number four, let's go to number five and tie it in. Walk with a limp. Let's go to Genesis 32. Beautiful story. One of my favorite stories. Genesis 32, walk with a limp. And you know the story. We're going to cut in at the end. Verse 30. Jacob had wrestled all night with the Lord. And the Lord made him confess who he was. He said, "What is your name? Who are you?" And he said, "Jacob, I'm a supplanter." But as Jacob was wrestling and exerting his power, his abilities, his strength, the Lord touched him and made him lame. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. That's a beautiful picture. We could go off on that. The sun rose, walking in sunlight. And he halted upon his thigh. And he halted. He limped. He was lame. No more showing off how fast he can run. No more showing off his athletic prowess. No more showing off. This was just a limp. But it's symbolic of every other thing that we take pride in, every other thing that we lift up and say, "Look at me, this is what I can do, this is my ability, this is me." God touched that. And God in his mercy, hopefully for every one of us at different points in life, will touch those areas that we trust in and depend on and say, "There's nothing there." It's a delusion. Trust in me. Don't trust in your riches. Don't trust in your wisdom. Don't trust in your strength. Trust in that you know the Lord your God. Walk with a limp. Paul said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." When I am weak, then am I strong. Number six, walk worthy. Walk worthy. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And let's bring in this thought again, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, humility, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, unified in the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, so much in there, so much practical, so much truth, so much light. Walk worthy of the vocation. So we think of being worthy, and just the mention of that makes us think that we are worthy of something, and that's not what this is talking about. He says, walk worthy, walk in a worthy way. The word here, worthy, means in a way that becomes, is becoming of, not a reproach, in a way that honors. walk worthy, walk in a way that honors the vocation that God called you to. And the vocation is a child of God. And then whatever else, what other work he has for you, walk in a way that's worthy of honoring him. You know, God, one of the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and mother. Honor, that's such a powerful word. Such a deep and important thing. We are to honor God, children to honor their parents. Even if you're 70 years old, you still honor your parents. Honor God, honor. And how do we honor? As we do things that don't bring a reproach to his name. And so this is what walking worthy is about. Walking worthy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And it goes on and says that he will not hold him a guiltless that takes his name in vain. What does that mean to take the name of the Lord in vain? When a young lady marries a young man, she takes his name. And hopefully throughout her life, she will honor that name. We take the name of the Lord when we become a Christian. I was once lost in darkness and sin, but I take the name of Christ. And I am now called a Christian. Christian. And if I dishonor that name, if I do those things that dishonor that name, that's vanity. That's vain. I'm taking the name of the Lord in vain. I want to take the name of the Lord in honor, in worth, in value. Walk worthy. Just a little pause here. Just, we've looked at six ways so far. And I want to bring us back to the beginning and just reiterate that this is serious. This is serious. We are in a warfare. We sit here comfortably. Like I said, we're going to go home comfortably. Everything's comfortable. And that's just the way the devil would like us to think. But we are in a warfare for our souls. As long as our flesh feels comfortable, God is more interested in our holiness than in our happiness. God is more interested in our consecration than in our comfort. You've probably heard those quotes before. We are in warfare against an enemy that's far stronger than we are. In humility, I admit that I cannot do this on my own. But that's not cause for discouragement. That's not cause for dismay. That's not cause for. It's cause for rejoicing, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given everything that we need to walk with him in victory. Number 7, walk with God. Walk with God. Name somebody that walked with God. Enoch, yeah, Enoch. Right there in the very beginning. Enoch. And what did God do for Enoch? Enoch didn't taste death. God took him. God walked with him. Enoch walked with God. And I just imagine the fellowship they had. And one day God said, Enoch, come on up here. Come on. You've done so well walking with me, and the temptations and the evils and all that down there. Just come on up and be with me. What a beautiful thought. He walked with God. And God took him. So, What else can we think about with walking with God? Following, follow me. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus himself said these words, follow me, 18 times. So maybe you can't pull up one of those quotes. Luke 9:23, I think it is. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If any man will be my disciple, follow me, follow me. Jesus said that, follow me. So what do? We could sing the song, Footsteps of Jesus, Footprints of Jesus. Lots of songs that talk about walking with Jesus, follow me. Number 8, walk in paths of righteousness. Let's go to Psalm 23. Walk in paths of righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And this next little phrase here is what it's all about. It's what it's all about. We can read Psalm 23 and say, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. I want to be there. That's what I want to do. But it's all about what? He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. That's where it comes back to the love. That's where it comes back to I do these things out of love. Out of love. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So walking in paths of righteousness. And looking at verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you ever think about that? Wherever there's a shadow, it implies that there's what? Light. There's light. Light will cast a shadow. So we're walking through the valley of death, the light is still with us, so I fear no evil. Walking in paths of righteousness. There's a precious promise in Proverbs 8 about that. God says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasure. Again, what a beautiful thing. What a wonderful promise. Isaiah 42:16. I'd like to go there quickly and look at another promise. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. Notice how many times it says, I will, I will, I will. There's 4 times in this verse. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. What a promise. Again, we walk in this world. We walk our own way. We walk in the crooked paths. We walk in the darkness. All those things. But God says, you don't have to do that. Precious promises. Number 9, you may not want to write a number 9 down because I'm just going to throw a couple things at you before I get to the last 2. There's several other ways that God tells us to walk. Over 30 times he says, walk in all my ways. We walk in his statutes. We walk in his commandments. We walk in the way of good men. This is in Proverbs, in wisdom. We walk safely. That's in Proverbs also. Walking in wisdom, walking safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. We walk in wisdom. Romans chapter 6 says we are buried with Christ, buried, with Christ in baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, we walk in what? Newness of life. Very good. Thank you. Excellent students. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Good works. Number 10. I saved these two for last. Number 10, walk in love. Walk in love. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Wonderful words of life. A loving Father giving us advice. A loving Father giving us warning. A loving Father giving us direction, counsel. Walk this way in love. Ephesians 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Followers of God, walk in love. John 13, Jesus told his disciples, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. Love, walk in love. There are several times the New Testament talks about various things. It says, above all these things, walk in charity. Above all these things, faith, hope, and love. Above all these things, love. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Walk in love. And we've had sermons on that subject alone, and we will have more, I'm sure. Number 11, walk in truth. Walk in truth. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 11. I'd like you to look at verse 6 first, though. Just as an encouragement, we think about all these practical things. This is how God wants me to walk, 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 walk. All these specific things. Where do I start? Where do I start? Verse 6 says, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. That's where we start. We come before God and say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to please you. I want to see the smile on your face because I love you. I don't know where to start. Tell me where to start, Lord. Where do I start? And then verse 11, go on and say, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. This is a prayer. This is what God wants us to come to him with, this prayer. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. There's a very precious verse in 3 John. 3 John verse 4. And it applies to God, God speaking, but it also applies to every one of us here. Because if you've lived long enough, you've probably experienced, or you know somebody intimately that has experienced, the sorrow and the heartbreak of seeing a loved one walk in darkness. Walk away. And every parent, when they hold that tiny little baby in their arms for the first time, in every day of that child's life as they grow, and even when their children get to be 50 years old, and in their 40s and in their 30s, and even when the child gets to be that age, the parent is still just praying and yearning that that child would be going right and doing right and prospering and healthy and safe. But every Christian parent, and God Himself, has this one overarching desire. And it's summed up in John chapter 3, verse 4. It says, I have no greater joy. Thank you. No greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. The things of this world, the temporal things, we cherish those things. But by comparison, I would accept a myriad of things from my children that are not ideal if they are walking in truth. That is what matters. That is the important thing. And I think that's what every Christian parent endeavors to guide and lead so imperfectly. Children, your parents are not perfect. Very imperfect. But their heart's desire for you is that you would walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, and He will shed glory on your way. So we are sometimes darkness, but now we have the light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Let's kneel for prayer.